Well, when most people think of biofuels, they think of ethanol made from corn. And while ethanol is still a big player, researchers are looking at a whole range of other products and technologies as biofuels move into the 21st century. One of the people involved in developing these new technologies is Mark Levsrud. He's an assistant professor of bioresource engineering at McGill University, and he's giving a lecture tonight on the next generation of biofuels. That kicks off the Food for Thought series at the McDonald campus of McGill University. He joins us now on the line. Hello, Mark Levsrud.
Hello, Lauren. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Well, as I mentioned, we've been talking about corn in this half hour. Most people think corn and ethanol when they think of biofuels, but give us some idea of what other products are in use or under consideration.
Well, a lot of the concerns have been because of corn being directly converted into ethanol, that they're worried that this is going to start eating into the food supply. And we've had some cases of rioting around the world for this. So we've been trying to look at greater aspects of this. So one of the areas that people should be quite familiar with is using manure and then collecting the methane gases that can be generated from this through an anaerobic digestion process.
We're doing something like that here right in the city, aren't we, with the technology that's being used out at Miron Quarry or the old Miron Quarry?
I'm actually not familiar with that.
Okay, sorry. And I might be wrong, but I know that they are using, they're finding a way to get hold of the methane.
I am familiar with, like, some of the landfills in the area have been capped, and they've been pulling the methane off of those. So I'm not familiar with the one you're talking about.
Yeah, I think that's the one I'm talking about precisely. Okay. Which are the most promising of some of these new products?
Well, the one we're trying to do is there's been a lot of research in the last while to try to figure out how to use forestry products or leftover residues in the field after you're finished harvesting. And so we call these cellulose-based products. And so the idea of how can we start to convert these into something that's more useful to us instead of there's an advantage of leaving it in the field to make it in the soil, but there's also some energy that could be extracted. So there's been talk about trying to convert this into ethanol through something called cellulosic fermentation. There's a company up in Ottawa that's been pushing it quite a bit, and there's a lot of money down in the U.S. been pushed into this also.
So what are some of the challenges?
Well, the challenges with this is that it's quite an expensive process. You have to take the product, harvest it in the field, somehow be able to put it into a form that can be transported to a machinery site or to an industrial site where they can start to do the conversion. And then cellulose is not like glucose or the standard sugars we're used to. It's a lot more hardy of a product. And so we have to use special enzymes and heat and acid to try to extract this, get it converted into something that's easy. And this can like double, triple, quadruple the price of these products.
So I'm imagining that your work is looking at ways to make this whole process cheaper.
That's the primary goal of a lot of this. It's a big world, so there's actually infinite people around the world that are working on this. My specific area is trying to figure out how to take it from the field circumstance, so when it's after you've done the wheat harvest or the corn harvest, trying to extract the corn stover, the leftovers, put it into a form that is processable so we can take it to the to the industrial site where they can get converted into this ethanol.
And how much success are you having?
Depends on how you look at it. There's a group of students that worked with me that were able to convert, take willow trees and put them into a round bale. So this is a 6-foot, roughly circular a structure that has the willow trees wrapped up. It allows for an easier transport from a farming standpoint. It's a standard bale, so its machinery is already in place for that. And for an industrial operation, it's fairly easy to deal with. This is new technology, came out through a collaboration with University of Laval, and they're starting to market this. So this has become quite it's a kind of a crossover between the forestry industry and the agriculture industry, and it looks to be quite promising at this point.
I guess one of the big concerns we keep hearing about the corn is just that, you know, how much energy has to go into the whole process. Even with what you're describing, you still have to move those bales around and all that, right? What'll make this cost effective?
Well, a lot of this comes down to, there's been a lot of studies that have been trying to figure out how much energy can we gain out of this. And the corn studies say it's a little bit more. You put in one unit of energy in and you get about 1.5 units out, which doesn't seem like all that much, and it really isn't. But if we can do more like the willows or do grasses, then we can get up to almost 4 units for every one unit we put in. The challenges end up becoming right now is how do we do the conversion from the cellulose into something that can be digested, as well as getting the cellulose in those, to those places. So those are the major concerns that we see from this perspective.
And is what you're describing, your work with your students there, is that kind of technology transferable to the work being done in Ottawa with the forest waste?
A lot of this stuff is interchangeable. So a lot of the forest waste uses processes not predominantly for ethanol production, but they use something known as gasification or pyrolysis, which can extract either, convert it into a gaseous form or into a liquid form, which can then be further processed. So there's a lot of different side processes with this. It's depending on how we want to go at this. If we want to make bio oil, there's one way to do that. If we want to make ethanol, there's one. And then we can also aim for butanol, which is similar to ethanol, has higher energy, better advantage for at least the aviation industry here in Quebec.
What's the dream? Is this something that Canada could become a world leader in, down, and how far down the road?
I'm guaranteeing that we could become leaders if this was a priority within our system. Currently, we're probably, it's not kind of like the cold fusion idea where it's a pipe dream down the road. We know we can do most of this stuff. We just don't have a lot of the infrastructure in place for it. So our plan is that we have to prove the technology, get the go on shows like this so that people are aware that this industry exists and start to get support from the federal government and the provincial government, which we are receiving it, so we're very happy for that. And it allows us to start to promote this. And the idea is that with the biomass or the plants that are grown in Canada, we could meet probably 25 to 50% of our fuel needs if we do it properly and well-balanced. But the fear is that we could do something that would be foolish, take it too far, and all of a sudden start stripping the land of the resources that we want or start losing out on the food that we need.
Well, you know, ethanol is starting to get a bit of a bad name when you look at, Brazil, which has really, really pushed the ethanol, and people are talking about how much of the Amazon forest is disappearing to make way for cornfields.
Oh, yeah, it's a major concern, and we talk to amongst ourselves and with our students and everybody that this has to be well thought out. Like, we're not going to just go in and say, okay, if we clear mammoth areas, we could pull this off. We could, but that just doesn't seem feasible. There's a lot of farmland out there that is used. It's more of a marginal operation. Cattle used to be on it a few years ago, but because the price of cattle have dropped down, it's now been kind of left vacant. If we go in there and harvest the grasses once every year or 2 years, then that could be used for increasing this biomass or the energy sources to come to our fruition. So,
last question from me. Are you getting funding from private industry, like the petrochemical industry, or do they just see you as a major competitor?
Myself personally, I have not received any money from the petrochemical industry, but if you look at the United States, there's a big University of California, Berkeley, that received, I want to say it was almost $500 million for research into this biofuel type research. So there is interest across the board. I'm federally and provincially funded, as well as university. But as a whole, it's everybody sees this as an advantage. It might not be the key to solving all the problems, but at least it can start to relieve some of the issues.
Very interesting. Well, I guess people have to go hear more tonight at your lecture.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing them here.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
That's Mark Levsrud. He's an assistant professor of bioresource engineering at McGill University, and his free lecture called The Next Generation of Biofuels kicks off the Food for Thought series. That lecture gets underway tonight at 7 o'clock in room R2045 of the Raymond Building. That's at the McDonald campus of McGill University out in St. Anne de Bellevue. For more information, call 514-398-7707. That number one more time, 514-398-7707.